Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
So yesterday was an interesting day for me. Yesterday I was mowing the grass, and you guys have heard me talk about mowing the lawn before. I'm one of those guys that I enjoy mowing my yard. It's kind of solitude and tranquility and serenity and peace for me. I get my headphones on and I just get out there. We kind of live away from folks. We don't have a whole bunch of neighbors right on us, so I don't have to wave every time I turn the mower around. I can just go and zip through and get the lawn mowed. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Well, yesterday I was mowing and I got down to this one area of our lawn, and as I was about to turn the corner, I felt this pinch on the back of my arm, and it got my attention. I was like, oh man, that kind of hurt. About 3 seconds later, I felt another pinch, except a little bit more significant, in my back. And instinctively, I know I have run into a hive of bees. And as I realize this, they are on me and they are swarming me. And so I turn that mower around. I can't get them off of me because I got both hands on the lever. I'm just trying to get back to the house and to get inside. Well, my wife had left to go someplace, and for some reason, she ran the garage door down. So I jump off the mower. I see the garage door's down. I know I can't get in the house that way. So I run around the back of the house to go to the back door, and the back door's locked. And I know the only hope that I have to go back by the mower that's still running, by the way. And I know the bees are all around it. I know I have to go to the garage and punch in the code, but I can't think straight because I'm trying to get these bees off of me. I've probably been stung about 8 to 12 times and it was less than 60 seconds. And I'm just getting zapped over and over, and I am on fire. Finally, Jake sees me flailing, hears me yelling, and he comes and he opens the door and he comes out and he says, Dad, what's going on? I'm like, it's bees. Get in the house. It's bees. So I run past him. I abandon him and run right past him and get in that. Close the door. And I'm like, oh, he's like, Dad, man, that scared me. He said, I thought something was wrong. I'm like, something was wrong, dude. I was getting killed by the bees. He said, no, I thought something like you hurt your arm or something. I said, I was just flabbergasted. I've never been in a swarm of bees before. And I'm not allergic because I'm here, you know? And so I stayed in the house for a long time. You can understand that reaction. I'm like in the house, but I want to know, the yard's not done mowing, and I want to know, what am I dealing with? And so after about an hour and a half or so, I go out to investigate. I get down there to where I thought they started, and sure enough, there's a hive right at the base of these trees. And it's maybe 10 to 15 yards off the driveway where this tree is. And from the driveway, I stayed on the driveway. From the driveway, I can hear them buzzing. And I finally see where they are, and there's literally dozens coming in and out of this ground hive at the same time. So that's enough for me. I go back in the house. Of course, I didn't tell you this, but when I went out there to investigate, I didn't go alone. I brought Julia because I thought if they come after me again, I'm pretty sure I can outrun her, and I just need to leave her behind and they'll leave me alone. Anybody, you understand? And so later they come, Alex and Julia come back in, and Julia says, Dad, Alex found another one. I'm like, whoa. So here's what had happened. I had driven by one swarm. They got me, and I had come back up, and they caught me. They caught me coming and going. So there were two swarms, and it hurt. This one latched itself onto me on my back, and it just went, this is what it felt like over and over, right in the same spot, and it hurt. It hurt bad. I told you that story for this reason, a couple different reasons. I want you to notice that when Jake came out and let me in the house, I did not say, hey, Jake, it's not really your gift to be a garage door opener, so I'm going to stay out here until the gifted garage door opener comes on the scene. Amen. I was just happy that someone opened the garage. What does that have to do with us in church? There is a world out there. They're in need. They're hurting. They're getting stung and swarmed by life. And they don't need to wait for you and me to identify what our exact gift and talent and ability is from God before we act. What they need is for us to get in the game, help them where they are, open that garage door, and give them some relief from the swarm. Notice I didn't say to Jake, you know, Jake, really what you're gifted at is accounting and finance. And so when I need your gift, then you can come and help me. But I didn't do that. Notice I would have had a different reaction. There's all kinds of things that people have been gifted with. I get it. But serving is what the world around us needs. See, at that moment, it would have been bad for Julia to come out there and say, hey, Dad, really, let me teach you something here. What you really needed to know is that bees are attracted to loud noise and vibration. And if you would have realized that, you could have avoided this situation altogether. I did not need a teaching gift at that moment. How many of you know she probably would have got slapped if she came at me with a teaching gift? I did not need an encouragement gift from Audrey, for Audrey to say, man, Dad, you're the best lawnmower there is, while I'm running and flailing the bees off of me. I did not need Al to come out and share with me his opinions, his strong opinions about what's right and what's wrong, and how the bees shouldn't have bothered me, and how they should have stayed away. And had I stayed away from them, they would have stayed. I didn't need someone proclaiming truth for me at that moment. What I simply needed was someone to observe my practical need and then just get involved in my life and meet that need. That's what the world around us is looking for. See, listen, they're not captivated by what your spiritual gift is or isn't. They're captivated by what's hurting them. They're captivated by what's swarming them, and they need to know that someone loves them and cares about them and is willing to help them and relieve the pain and the pressure that they're experiencing. And sometimes we get too specific and what our gift is, especially in church world. We get too specific and we don't understand that serving is the training wheels to finding your purpose. Just get in the game and get involved and get after it. In Mark chapter 10, here's what Jesus says. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. In other words, Jesus said, serving is good enough for me, it will be good enough for you. And so today I want us to look at two examples of Jesus serving the people around him. The first one we're going to look at is in John chapter 21. In John chapter 21, beginning in verse 1, I'm going to read several verses. And let's just take these verses, beginning in verse 1. Let me give you the background. Jesus has already been crucified and raised from the dead. He's already paid the penalty for our sin. And he's about to appear to the disciples for a third time since his resurrection. And in John chapter 21, verse 1, here's what the scripture says. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. So some of the disciples are together, and we know that they're not doing real well emotionally. They're a little bit down and discouraged. And so this is what they do. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we are going with you also. So in case you have any fishermen around, that's Bible permission to go fishing with your buddies right there, 21:3, okay? They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, for you will find some." Pause. At this point, the disciples are experiencing something they'd experienced before. A bit of deja vu. Because they'd had this experience with Jesus where they'd been fishing all night, caught nothing. Jesus gives them instruction and they catch something. So at this point, they're being reminded of what they've heard in the past. And so they caught nothing. So they cast and now they were able to draw it. They were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." So the disciple whom Jesus loved, this is a phrase that John uses about himself over and over and over again. He never refers to himself as John. He never identifies himself in this way. Over and over in Scripture, he says, "the one Jesus loved." Now, you might think this is a little bit presumptuous, a little bit arrogant, a little bit egotistical, but buried in this is a truth that each and every one of us have to embrace for ourselves. And here's the truth, that you and me and myself, I have to understand for me that I'm the disciple that Jesus loves. I have to identify as that person that Jesus loves, no matter what's going on around me. Isn't it easy to kind of fall into the trap of kind of self-loathing, discouragement, beating yourself up and come to the conclusion, I don't know, I didn't do things the best this week. Maybe he doesn't love me. But when we realize that it was his love that caused him to act while we were far from him, well, greater awareness will come to us of his love for us. Regularly, I wake up in the morning, I look in the mirror and say, "That's the one Jesus loves." And he says, "I don't know if I can do that." You should. You can. Just like I have four kids, I love them all. And I hope that they all know that I love them and come to a place where they can say, "I'm the one that Dad loves. I'm the one that Josh loves." Because it's true for all of them. His love is so expansive to cover all of us. So John says this, "And now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it. So he added clothes to himself and he plunged into the sea." Peter's so excited to go see Jesus, he doesn't wait for the boat to get to the sea. He starts to swim. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then also, as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up, dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, watch this, four words, "Come and eat breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask, "Who are you?" Knowing that it was the Lord, Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Let this sink in for just a minute. The conqueror of death, hell, and the grave. The one who secured our salvation. The one who walked in the fullness of the authority that God had given him. The one who Jesus, the one whom God raised up from the dead in a mighty display of his power, walking in full authority of everything that was granted to him by his Father in heaven, the walking through walls, moving through space and time with no problems, the shape-shifting, almighty Jesus is making breakfast. How many of you think that if you were to encounter someone who was raised from the dead, you'd pay pretty close attention to pretty much everything they do? And yet we stumble over this simple truth that the one who could have been doing anything was serving the people that he loved. Listen, they didn't need a miracle. They didn't need a prophecy. They didn't need a poem. They didn't need some long teaching of doctrine. What they needed was someone to serve them. And that's exactly what Jesus displays. The servanthood of God says, I'm going to see a practical need and I'm going to do my very best to meet that need. And this is what he displays to us. So as we go through this series of survival, a place of moving from an event mindset of I'll serve when there's a good event to kind of cooperate with, but rather take my life and lay it down. See, the way you gain your life is to lose it, is to give it for others. The way to find your life is to get lost in someone else's need. I would tell you the recipe to eradicate discouragement and discontentment in your life. Find someone in a troubling situation and go and think about them and help them out of their situation and watch the discouragement, watch the depression, watch the discontent, watch it melt like a snowball on a hot July day. Because you cannot be discouraged unless you are focused on self. And once you begin to serve, you get your needs out of the picture and get the other person's need in the picture. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing. He's saying, hey, these guys are probably hungry. I'm going to feed them and do something practical for them. Let that sink in, that the worker of miracles is making breakfast. Not really that profound, is it? Until you embrace it and see in all of its fullness what it represents. Another example is in John chapter 13, verse 1. I'm going to read from the NIV. And I'm going to close with this verse. So if you give me just a couple more minutes. John 13, verse 1 says this. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. I've talked to you over the last couple weeks about us as a church going to the next level. Jesus is described in this verse as showing them the full extent. The next level of love is what he's about to show them. So pause and think about this. He has shown them his love in tremendous ways. He's worked miracles, he's done signs and wonders, taught them things with authority that they'd never heard before. And Jesus says, okay, guys, I've shown you my love, but now I'm gonna pull the curtain back and you're gonna see the next level. You're gonna see my love in its fullest capacity, in its fullest extent. In other words, this is one of the last things he says before he goes to the cross, and he says, I've shown you my love over and over. Now pay special attention to what I'm about to do, because this is the full extent. You haven't experienced the full yet. I'm about to unload on you the next level of my love. And when he does that, he has their full attention, like, whoa, what's he gonna do? We've seen pretty awesome things. If you read the Gospels and you're not in awe of Jesus, you're just not paying attention. And he says, here's the next level, here's the full extent. And what does he do? He doesn't reach for title or position or accolades or tasks or talents. What he does is he reaches for a towel. He gets down on his hands and knees and he shows them the full extent of my love is to serve. And he's communicating to us more than 2,000 years later the way that the world around you, pay close attention to this, please. Don't get away from this, and don't let this get away from you. The way that the world around us is going to experience the full extent of his love is when we get down on our hands and knees and in the muck and in the dirt and serve someone. When we simply serve them. Peter has a violent reaction to this. He says, no. I love Peter. He's so extreme. He's so like all or nothing. I think Peter and I would get along pretty well together. Like instead of waiting for the boat to get to shore, he doesn't even have the patience. He just jumps in full on clothes and swims. And he says to Jesus, no. How many think it takes some guts to tell Jesus no? He's like, no. You're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus says back to him, if you don't let me wash your feet, you don't have any part in me. You got to hand it to Peter. He makes a quick adjustment and he says, okay, then wash me from head to toe, all over, wash me. Jesus is like, no, that's not what's going to happen. Your feet, Peter, let me wash your feet. Jesus washes each of those disciples' feet out of an act of serving. See, now listen, you don't necessarily have to wash someone's feet in order to serve them, but in this day, in this culture in which this verse is being spoken, it's one of the lowest, most abasing things that a person could do. They live in a sandy, dusty, dirty area with open-toed shoes where animals are roaming, where people are roaming, where there's human waste and all kinds of things that they're walking through, things they don't even know what they're walking through. And Jesus says, I'm going to serve. I'm going to do something for you. And I'm going to do for you something so that you don't have to do it for yourself. And he serves them. One time in my life, one time, I offered to do this. And it was for my mom and my stepdad. I was a teenager, I was about 19 years old. We had gotten in a huge argument. They were wanting me to not do something that I was bound and determined to do. And they were looking out for me, and they loved me with everything they had, and they didn't see that what I was wanting to do is a course of direction in my life. They thought there was a better way, and you have to appreciate people who will love you enough and say, there's a better way. But at the same time, I couldn't fit what was in their heart in mine. And out of an act of love to show them my full extent of love, I asked them to sit down in the living room and I washed their feet. Feet are nasty. And there's something, I'm not telling you, listen. You'll miss the heart of this if you go out with a pan and a towel and start getting people's feet off at Walmart, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. You may not be blessed by that. I'll be honest with you, that may not work. That may not be exactly what you need to do. It may be the exact thing you want to do. But the picture behind it is an example of serving. Students, young people, give me your attention. Stop always fighting and demanding your rights and serve someone else. It will equip you to be an adult in this life at the next level. People always fighting for what's theirs is not the spirit of a survivalist, is not the spirit of Christ, is not the spirit of what I believe this church is called to be. But a person who will say, whatever your deepest need is, that's what I want to meet. Now open that door. And as I washed their feet, they wept. And they understood that I loved them in a way that they'd never understood before. Many years later, as my mama lay on her deathbed, I had an opportunity to do for her what she had done for me. She was incapable, unable in some regards of taking care of herself. But I found a pan and I found a cloth. And when she was burning up through medication and pain, I got that cool water and I washed her forehead and I washed her hair. And I did whatever I could to meet the need that she had. And in that moment, the pain that I was feeling disappeared. The discouragement disappeared. In that moment, cancer did not have any power over our lives, because there was someone and something greater in the room, and it was the power of what happens when we serve. Listen, when we serve, Jesus comes in the room. Jesus enters our situation. And it may not fix everything long term, but in that moment, you will live outside of yourself. You want to go to the next level. You want to experience the fullest extent of His love. Take up the towel and serve those in need. I'm going to ask you to do something. Labor Day weekend is a couple weekends away. It's not next weekend, but it's the weekend after. And I want you to think about this, and I want you to consider doing this. It's our big give weekend. Starts on Friday. We're going to go to LV's home football game. Whoever wants to help, we're going to pass out some stuff that we've purchased from Boosters that are concessions. We're going to pass them out free. We're not going to wear I Love My Church t-shirts. We're not going to put any stickers and labels on it. We're not going to tell them where our services are and what time they start. We're not going to tell them we're online. We're not going to tell them anything about who we are. We're simply just going to get there in their world and serve them and give with no strings attached. That gets outside of ourselves and do something for others and let God grow the fruit and bring the results. If you want to help with that, Michelle will be at the desk in the lobby. You can tell her, hey, I want to help. It was two weeks ago from last Friday. Saturday, I'm asking you, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Friday, all of them, but specifically Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I'm asking you to think about creative ways to serve your neighborhood, your friends, your family. Not going to be a whole list piled up for you to sign up and have a team leader. I'm asking you to lead yourself, you to lead your friends, you to lead your family. Come up with creative ideas to do something in your world to serve those around you. Could be picking up trash, could be feeding quarters to a car wash machine. It could be feeding quarters to the place where you have to pay for your grocery cart. It could be whatever you want to do. But I'm asking you to think. I won't give you all the ideas because that would limit you. Just think about what it is. Pray about what it is that you can do. And then that Sunday when we come together, I'm asking you to bring friends and let us serve them. Let us get into their world. Invite them. We're going to be doing the I Love My Church t-shirt giveaway that Sunday. Why do we want to do this? Because it's what's necessary for the next level. Let me combine everything that I've said with what we said in the beginning. Our milestone weekend, our milestone Sunday, these two things are connected. God brings resources to places that are making a difference. You're making a difference. We're making a difference. And let me tell you this. The enemy would love to stop us making a difference and will do whatever it takes to stop us from making a difference. But we have good news today. Jesus stripped our enemy of all his power, all of his authority, and he cannot stop what God has started. The Bible says this, that the church will grow and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Bow your heads and close your eyes with me. Father, I thank you for every person in this place, for your heart being extended to us, for your ways being made clear to us, and for us growing in this culture of serving. Lord, some things are better caught than taught. And in my faults and in my failures and in my insufficiencies, I ask your power and your strength and your strong arm to make up the gap, to make up the difference, for us to see exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. Thank you for speaking to individual hearts and lives in a way that only you can. And we'll be quick to give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise for everything good that transpires as a result of us taking up the towel. And I believe that you'll show the full extent of your love through us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's Word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.